This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hi, Dave. Well, we mentioned earlier we had our Taking It to the Text survey going on this morning, right?
Yes.
And the question is this. What we do is we ask a question of the audience to see what they're thinking and give them a chance to be creative, and then we share some of the more popular and interesting results around 9 o'clock. So the question this morning is, WWO Monday Morning Audience Surveyed, here's your question. Something that you could say to holiday visitors about their pet that they could mistakenly think you were talking about or referring to their kids and accidentally get their feelings hurt.
So someone's coming and staying at your house, they're bringing their pets and their kids with them. Something you could say you meant about the pets, but they thought was about the children.
For example, somebody texted in and said, nobody's coming to my house with pets. No, that's not what we're looking for. But that is a response, I guess, it will take. But
it's a response.
Somebody else said, can you please make sure they use the bathroom outside this year? So, see, that would be something that would be construed or misconstrued, if you will. Or as Archie Bunker used to say, misconstrued. 504-260-1870.
Why would you want my kid to go potty in the yard?
504-260-1870. Text your answers there, and we'll reveal them later on to see what the audience came up with, if, in fact, they came up with anything. We'll talk to Jeff Palermo when we come back.
R&D.
About those LSU Tigers and taking on the Houston Cougars in the, what is it, the Dingle, Ringle?
Texas Bowl?
Texas Bowl. Houston Somebody's Bowl? Sponsoring it. I don't know. We'll talk about that when
Doesn't
we return on WWL. 7:14 and a half, foggy, still can't see the Crescent City connection from Poydras and Magazine, where we happen to be located on the 8th floor because of the fog. They are convoying on a causeway both directions. You can't pass while they're convoying. Keep that in mind. And otherwise, just be careful. No flashers unless you're stopped, and put the headlights on. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, Weekend 1 of the College Football Playoffs. In the books. Meanwhile, back at LSU. How you doing, Jeff?
I am doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay, sir. Give me your thoughts on the first weekend of college football playoffs.
Well, I thought we had two compelling games and then two blowouts, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't know if this ends the debate on allowing the group of six teams into the college football playoff. We're probably heading to an expansion anyways, but you know, one of the things that I just feel, football is not the same as basketball. Part of this tournament is set up to try to create a bit of a Cinderella story. One of these teams, like a Tulane, like a James Madison, comes in and, you know, beats one of the big boys and advances in the playoffs. In basketball, it's much easier to do. You can have a night where, as a Cinderella, you're making all your shots and the other team isn't, or the ball bounces your way a couple times and all of a sudden you're able to knock off a 2 seed, a 3 seed, a 1 seed, whatever it may be. In football, it's so much more about who's bigger, faster, stronger. The physicality at the who can dominate at the line of the scrimmage. And when you're not as talented, when you're not as big, and when you're not as strong, excuse me, it's just much more difficult for those inferior teams to beat a superior team. So I think you saw that this past weekend.
So to put James Madison in and leave Notre Dame out is kind of silly.
In my mind, it is.
Yeah.
I think there also needs to be just some sort of, okay, it's great that Tulane won the American Athletic Conference. It's great that James Madison won the Sun Belt Conference. Mm-hmm. But did you beat anybody to really prove, you know, other than the peers in your league that are not in the same level as those teams in the SEC and in the Big Ten? And in the ACC, did you? Now I understand Tulane beat Duke, and so that was that's a nice win for him. But for a team like James Madison to only play one Power Four school and lose by whatever it was, I can't remember what the total was. It wasn't close. They played Louisville. They got blown out by Louisville. And then for them to then get in just because they won the Sun Belt Conference, with all due respect to the Sun Belt, there's great teams, there's great programs, but they're not at the same level as the Oregons of the world or the Ole Misses of the world. They're just not there. And so I think there needs to be a little bit more criteria into – I've always said this and even when we had the 14 playoff, there was always maybe a team in there that I'm like, okay, they only like beat one top 25 team, but yet they're in there, and yet a team that had two losses and played multiple top 25 teams. To me, if you can't beat a top 25 team during the season, you shouldn't be in there. Now, under my, I guess, the Palermo rule, Tulane would have gotten in because they would have beaten in North Texas in the American Athletic Conference. So, okay, they beat North Texas, top 25 team. But for a team like James Madison that had not beaten anyone of, had not beaten a strong opponent all season long, I don't know. I mean, I agree with what Nick Saban said. In the Major League Baseball playoffs, we don't allow all of a sudden the AAA champion to play in the World Series. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird way of doing it. But also, Tommy, the college football playoffs, the college football championship, it's never been settled in a way that I think most people can agree with. So probably in the end, I think we're going to be looking at a 16-team expansion. Who knows? This thing may balloon to 24 in the next 5-10 years. But maybe that way, with the 16, a team like Notre Dame gets in. A team like Vanderbilt gets in. I think those teams right there, Notre Dame and Vanderbilt, much more worthy than what we saw with the Tulane and James Madison.
All right, we're going to talk LSU Houston when we come back. I just wanted to pick your brain about the college football playoffs, because it's kind of pretty much what I thought as well. It's like in basketball, even at that, first of all, there's more universities that play basketball can field a basketball team because it's a much smaller program, right? And the game itself is different, as you alluded to. And even with that, it's rare that lightning will strike. It will occasionally, but rarely does it. But football, it's a completely different animal. 720, we'll talk LSU and bowl game with Houston when we come back. Right now, traffic, WWL.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. It's a weird kind of bowl. I'm going to tell you what, LSU playing Houston in the Texas Bowl with Lane Kiffin probably not actively involved, I guess. I don't know. Players opting out, transfer portal. Tell me the story, Jeff.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Yeah, We haven't really had much information as far as how preparation is going on. We did get a photo of Lane Kiffin watching practice and standing right next to Frank Wilson. And what was interesting was Garrett Nussmeier was lined up as the quarterback in that shot. But we're not expecting Garrett Nussmeier to play. We're not expecting a lot of LSU Tigers that were part of this 2025 team to play. No Harold Perkins, it doesn't look like. Josh Thompson on the offensive line, the Weeks brothers, they're most likely not playing. AJ Halsey not playing. Mansoor Delane, a consensus All-American at cornerback, not playing. So you got a lot of your star players who are not in this game. The team, I believe, leaves for Houston to continue preparations on Christmas Eve. So a little bit of a makeshift offensive line. You'll have different linebackers out there than you're accustomed to. So, and of course, Michael Van Buren will be your starting quarterback for LSU in the game.
What about recruiting and transfer portal, and what do we know about that in terms of who is indicating? Because we don't know until January 2nd, right? That's when they...
Right. Right now, the biggest name that's dropped for LSU is Carius Kern, and he could still play in the bowl game. In fact, Juwan Johnson is another name that has entered the transfer portal, but he still plans on playing. You know, and some of this is the portal isn't officially open, or you cannot enter your name officially, or I guess it becomes open, on January 2nd. So, and then there's just some players that are putting their name out there right now just to kind of test the waters to see if there's kind of through back channels, if there's any interest in them, what it may be. So there's still a possibility, a guy like Carius Kern, because I would say that's the biggest shocker or the one that's the most impactful is probably the best way to put it. Most impactful guy off of this 2025 team that has decided to enter the transfer portal, because it really seemed like Kern, a guy who's just completed his freshman season, would have a great opportunity to start somewhere on a rebuilt offensive line next year, a five-star prospect out of Arkansas. You hate to lose him for one season. Mm-hmm. He may have been told by Lane Kiffin and the staff that, and of course, NIL money is a big part of this, so he may have received word it's not going to be as much next season as it was this year, or wasn't as much as he was hoping for. So he puts his name in the transfer portal, gets an idea of what else is out there, and who knows? There's still the possibility to bring him back. But so he may play in this game. I think you might have a few guys that are in the transfer portal, but we'll just still go ahead and play the game, finish it out, and then really hope that, all we're seeing at this point, Tommy, is guys losing, LSU losing guys. Mm-hmm. The real fun really will not begin until January 2nd when the portal opens. And we heard Lane Kiffin in his opening press conference. He can't wait for the portal to open. He can't wait to pitch this plan to some of the great players across the country that are looking for another spot, especially at the quarterback position. So it'll be a lot of fun to see. It'll be wild to see just how many kids end up committing or signing with LSU out of the transfer portal, and how many he's bringing with him from Ole Miss as well.
It's a weird position because it's kind of like get the bowl game out of the way, right? I mean,
got to get the bowl game out of the way.
And then let's move on and see what the plans are. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Coming back, we'll have Bank On It, financial insights you can count on with Jason Shields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Right now, though, we'll take a break for WWL First News.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm Dave Cohen. Let's get back to Tommy Tucker now on WWL.
Making our way through this Monday morning, December 22nd. You got all your shopping done? You ready for Christmas?
I placed my final online order last night.
You going to get it in time?
Yeah, I'll be here by Tuesday.
Okay. What'd you get me?
It wasn't for you. It's for my wife.
All right. What is it?
Why? That would ruin the surprise. And
oh, we don't want
she's
that.
She's listening.
Happen. Okay. She like romantic items, or does she like more practical items?
A little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she sometimes wants something that she needs, and other times I get her something that she wants or will enjoy, whether she thinks she wants it or not.
Are you good at getting gifts or not?
Hit or miss. Some years I score, some years I don't do so well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm so good at it. Give me a text here, 504-260-1870. Are you a good gift giver or not? I tried to help a friend out by saying, you know, your husband, he doesn't really know what it is that you want this year, so maybe if... Oh, he knows! So that kind of...
you were trying to get some ideas for yourself.
No, for him. I was trying to do him a solid by saying, you know, talking to the wife, saying, well, you know, he doesn't really know what he wants to get, what you want, so do you have any idea? Oh, he knows! So apparently she sniffed out the scam that was going on.
Did you finish all your shopping?
I did. All done.
Good.
Complete and totally done.
What'd you buy me?
You'll see when you open it. Jason Shields joins us as we come back. Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. A lot of information out last week. We'll see what it means, financial information, when we return on WWL. Hi, 7:45, quarter till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Monday morning. That means time for Bank On It, financial insights you can count on with Jason Shields, the COO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. Morning, Jason. How are you?
Good, Tommy. How are you, man?
Good to talk to you. Missed you the last couple of weeks. I had some vacation that I was getting out of the way, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be back talking to you. You got everything ready for the holidays?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be, Tommy, because I'm not going shopping anymore.
You're done, right? That's it.
I'm done.
What is not shopped for is not going to be shopped for. A lot of financial data came out last week, a lot of economic data. What was it, and what did we learn from it, Jason?
Yeah, last week was a pretty good week for data folks, right? A lot of things lined up. So last week we got job data, inflation data, and spending data. That's three things that the economists love to look at as they determine the direction of the economy. And then also from the previous week, when we know the Fed cut rates by 25 basis points, we also got their notes as well as far as the direction of the economy. So it's a good wrap-up for the year and a good kind of general projection of what we think 2026 is going to look like. And so I'll start with the jobs data that we got, because I really think that's the one that everyone has a bit of a concern with, right? We know where inflation is. Jobs is always that wild card. And so what the most recent report showed was 64,000 jobs were added in November. So, you know, we've talked about this before. You really want to see it in that 125,000 range to really offset, you know, the thing. That's a good, healthy, flat number. But at the same time, what that shows is the unemployment rate rose to about 4.6. And so while we're hiring and that number still went up, what that tells us is it's kind of the same old story, what we've been expecting here, right? It's that the job market is cooling, but it's not collapsing, right? This is an orderly progression. And this is kind of what you're expected to see, right? Around in that 4% range is generally where the Fed considers what they call full employment, right? Meaning if someone were to want a job, they could get a job. It doesn't mean it's the job necessarily that they would want, but a job is available to them. So that's what you're seeing there from the jobs perspective is things tend to be going pretty good. Now, you know, the government was shut down. We know that data has a little bit of noise, but in general, what we like to look at is that direction of the job market. So for the end of the year, job market's looking about in line with where the Fed thought it would be. So for inflation, that's the other key topic there. That's what we feel day to day. You know, Tommy, that's things get more expensive. That's the number we really care about. And so core inflation came in at about 2.6%. Now, that's a huge improvement from where we peaked a couple of years ago. But more importantly, the thing that we all look at and the Fed looks like when we step back is what's the direction? And that direction is starting to trend down. We're starting to get into that 2% range that the Fed's preferred thing is. And so that... I would like to qualify this because this is always the Christmas conversation, right? It's like, well, you say inflation's going down, but everything still costs more. Mm-hmm. When inflation goes down, it just means things start costing more, less on a less rapid cadence, right? So, you know, 2.6% means things cost 2.6% more than they did last year. And so it's in general, things don't get cheaper. Inflation doesn't tend to reverse unless we're going to really... not great economy. So I always like to tell everyone, yeah, things are still more expensive. But what we're really looking at is the trend for that one. So
So let me ask you about inflation. When it comes to 2.6%, is that over what period of time? Because you said things are 2.6% more expensive than last year, or is that by month? Or how do they measure that, Jason? I've always wondered about that.
Good question, Tommy, because we all like to quote that number and nobody really knows what it means, right? And so when we talk about that number, we're always looking at a year over year. So what were goods in November of 2024 and what are they in November of 2025? And now that number will continue to move. So we'll just keep comparing a year over year number. And that's generally what you look at when you're looking at those things.
I got you. All right.
And that's why the trend's somewhat important, too, because, you could have an anomalous month where something spiked. Pick your reason for whatever it was. But what we've done to look at is we look at it over a broader spectrum and then see where that direction is going. And so the other stuff we got was the Federal Reserve. They released, the famous dot plot that we always talk about, right, which is just all of the members of the Fed kind of anonymously showing on a picture chart where they think rates are going to be both at the end of this year, 26, 27, 28, much longer run. And then they also gave us their summary of economic projections. And in essence, this is where they think the economy is going over the next several years. And so the one thing that I thought that I thought was really interesting that changed from the September, because they released this quarterly projections, was the Fed actually raised its outlook for economic growth in 26. They raised it from a 1.8 to 2.3 in December. And so that tells me that members of the Fed really are starting to feel confident in the direction that the economy is going. And that's really huge, Tommy, because if you look at it at the micro, there's a lot of noise, but these guys tend to pull back and look at the macro. And so that was one that I thought was really good. They also see unemployment sitting at about 4.4% in 2026. Why that's important is they say where we are in employment is probably where we're going to stay for the next year. And that's good, right? Because that means you're not going to see those big spikes according to their projections. And you can start to feel somewhat secure in your job and start finding the right job that you're supposed to be looking for as opposed to just the job that's available. So in general, I think that was a good mark on theirs. And then they also lowered their inflation outlook. So they said it's going to get to about 2.4 next year. So in general, that's pretty good. Now, the dot plot, the one everyone really cares about is, where do they see rates going? And in general, they see it about a 3.4% median rate when I average them all in at the end of 2026. And so they're not seeing tons of cuts coming forward. They're outliers that see many cuts. But in general, they're seeing maybe one, two cuts right now as where it's going to go. And that's good. That means that they're gradually easing and things are getting where they'd like them to be. So
what do we do with all of that information, Jason?
Yeah. So what do we do with it? In general, I think everyone should assume that rates are going to stay a little bit higher for a little bit longer. Not where we are as high, Tommy, but it's higher than if we remember the 2010s, those zero rate days, right? I think where you are is about where it's going to be. You may see some moves down a little bit in 2026, but it's going to be slow. It's going to be calculated. The other thing I tell everyone is stay flexible, right? Know what your funds are, know what your money is doing for you, know what it's earning, know what the borrowing rates are. And just, I like to stay liquid at this time so that, if opportunity presents itself, it's something that you can quickly jump into and move along. But in general, I think everybody should just kind of look at this and say, I'm not going to call it soft landing, Tommy, but things are going in the directions that we expected so far. And as long as we keep on this trajectory, we're about where we need to be and things are going to kind of stay fairly consistent to that.
That's good news. We're going to let it go at that. Thank you, sir. Jason Shields, Chief Operating Officer for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, with some more financial insights you can count on it with Bank on It. 753, 7 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.